This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud. Today, we're going to look back at a great win against Bournemouth, and we'll also, because we've been off for a couple of weeks, just slightly touch on the Luton disaster. Just the three of us today, myself, Richie, and Chris. Afternoon, boys.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Rich.
Hey,
Rich. All good. I just want to mention, Collie is taking an extended break from the pod. A couple of things going on in the background. So send the best wishes to Collie, and hopefully he'll be back soon. So look after yourself, pal. Right, Rich. Like I said, we just literally touched on this slightly because we didn't speak about it before. The Luton. I was away for it. But I know you did a part about the great week we had, beating Brentford away and Villa away and all this rose in the garden, and this is it now, we're on the ropes, we're on the way back up. What a fucking absolute disaster. I mean, it's just, I think it was Chris, or not Chris, it was Stuart Darling said, following Everton's like Jaws, just when they think it's safe to go back in the water, you get your arse beaten. I mean, just a fucking disaster.
Complete and utter, yeah. And I'm laughing here because, you know, we were overly confident, but you need to be confident when you're playing Luton. And, you know, we were on the back of a week, and it just typical of us for that to happen. And it was brutal. For 25 minutes, really, really good. If we got a goal, probably would have battered him, but conceded one, panicked, and just fell asunder. You know, we were to be really good. Relatively good for 25 minutes, and to be two down after 35 minutes is inexplicable, really. Like, we just couldn't. They totally lost the organisation for set plays, and you can blame lots of them for it. You can blame Dyche for setup. You can blame Tarkowski. You can blame Pickford. You can blame Mikulenko. You know, but ultimately, as a team, it's just not good enough. You know, these are things that can be practiced, and they've a couple of danger. I mean, you think after the first one, when is it Lockhart? Is it centre half? And he won the first one just over. You got a bit of a wake-up call straight away afterwards then, you know, and it's really, really poor. I suppose you can kind of look at it now, having the hindsight of beating Bournemouth, and say, right, that, you know, it is what it is. We got 6 points out of three games, and it's not the end of the world, but as a standalone, it wasn't good enough, you know. And there was a lot of, come half-time, I know you were saying Gana has to come out, you know, and he did because he was really, really poor. But then to be worse in the second half, you know, I don't know if it was panic and trying to rush things and just trying to, I'd say frustration that we were in that we put ourselves in that position and created nothing. And even when you say 7 minutes on the clock and to not register a shot on target, like, you know, I don't even remember their keeper making a good save, which is the frustrating thing about it. But yeah, all in all, I think they completely, the sooner we forget about it, the better, and move on. It was really, really poor.
Yeah, I think kind of, I tell you what, we're laughing about. We're only laughing because we beat Bournemouth, Chris, but it was embarrassing, the display they put on. It was just, like we spoke about before, that the three in the middle, they just don't work, like Onana, Decore, and Gana. And he changed the four, the two games that we won, the Brentford and the Villa. And to go back to that formation against Luton was just an absolute, like, it's for me, it's on Dyche. Like, he fucked up. He changed the winning formula and went back to one that hasn't worked all season.
I think we'll touch on it as well. But if the Bournemouth game proved, and games like that at home where the onus is on us of such, and you're expected to win, you're going to have more to play, more to ball, you don't really need that holding midfielder. Like, Gana wasn't missed against Bournemouth. Onana can sit in that role, and you can play a bit more forward and press that little bit higher. But the Luton one was just, you know, we get beat, and, you know, a day or two, you're kind of, you know, you're pissed off, and I don't watch football, I don't watch matches today, I don't care about Super, I just avoid. This one stung a little bit more than usual. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday the following week. I was fuming, just embarrassed, really. It's like, look, no disrespect to them, but you expect to be promoted teams at home. You know, they're your bread and butter games that we should be looking to get at least points from. at least. You know, same last year, Wolves were bottom, they beat us. Southampton's only win with the manager, they beat us at Goodison when they were bottom. Leicester were bottom, they beat us. All the promoted teams are coming and rolling us over, you know. These are games when, notoriously, we should be looking at them for 3 points. But it was so annoying because they probably won't win away all season. Let's be fair, you know. They're desperate sides. And look, we obviously aren't fantastic ourselves, but I think it's just the early goal, you know. If we had got that early goal, I think we probably would have, you know, probably kicked on a little bit, possibly got another one. And but it's the quality of chances we're missing. Like, some sitters there in the first 25 minutes, as Richie said, like, embarrassing that professional football. Like, Ghana's one, he can't hit the target from 16 yards. He puts it wide. You know, Garner's header, Cavalloon had a header, I know McNeil had a great effort, that was a good effort, but with so many chances, Onana, you know, really, really poor efforts that anybody with anything about them should be putting away. And even in the second half, like Beto, a few headers he missed, you know, it was just, these are game-changing chances that we're not putting away. And like Richie said, concede one. We had our warning signs. I think they repeated the corner 2 or 3 times and it causes chaos from each one. And then, yeah, it's just, I think it's individual responsibility. I know zone or marking is a thing, but there's no real responsibility there. If you're marking your zone and the ball is going to your zone, well, then it's not your fault. So I think after the first few times, whoever's on the pitch, whether it's Pickford or Tarkowski, it's up to them as an individual to say, well, let's go man for man here. This isn't working, you know. And we didn't learn our lesson. And once you're 2 down with us, generally, we don't tend to come back. And with the goal right before halftime, as spawny as it was, you hoped that we would, right, we come out second half, have a go at these. These aren't, you know, and nothing. First 20, 25 minutes, it was like watching ping ball, kicking a ball out of play, ball going from side to side. It was garbage. They were miscontrolling and we were turning it over. No quality from either team whatsoever. And to be fair to Deutsch, I think he made the changes we all were asking for him. We said at halftime ourselves, right, get Garner off, put Garner, he done that. Brought Harrison on, right, get Beto on, go 4-4-2. And we did, maybe a bit sooner than we would have liked, but they were the changes that we asked for and he made them and it didn't make a difference. You know, we just, on the pitch, I think it's more of a mentality thing. You could see the body language in them. There was no urgency. They were feeling sorry for ourselves. We were huffing and puffing. And then I think we just tried to force the issue. And we were just, Pickford was pinging the ball long. We were hitting diagonals out of play, playing into their hands because they were solid enough. They, you know, after the first 25 minutes, that was bread and butter to them, was just pinging the ball long to their yard dogs. That's what they wanted all day, you know. And yeah, it was frustrating and it was embarrassing. And it just left a bad taste in the mouth. But it is, I think it's a lot of its mentality with the players. Probably a bit after the week we've had, like you touched on, we probably thought, right, we'll rock up here. Given it the Billy Big Bollocks, probably the players have done it before. I think we just have to turn up here. And you could arguably say maybe Villa felt that way against us, or Brentford felt that way against us, or Brighton last year thought, right, we just have to turn up, we beat these. Probably the same mentality. So it was a big wake-up call. And look, to be fair, we got a good reaction against Bournemouth and, you know, hopefully that will kick the home form into gear. But I think it's a lesson to us as well. And myself and Richie, as you said, done the podcast. We had a good week. We were given praise where it's due because it was due. The lads done well. And as we always say, Joe, we call a spade a spade. When people need to be criticised, you criticise them based on what you see from week to week. We've no understanding of what goes on behind the scenes or all of that show. You're just watching what you see over 90 minutes. But the frustrating thing for me is when we're doing these podcasts is, like, you're just calling what you see, but the players make you look fickle. One week you're saying, he's not fair play. The next week you're saying, he's awful, he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're just fans. We haven't a clue what's going on, you know. But it makes you look like you're having a clue what you're talking about. When people
that's the thing. I think doing it week to week, like you have to call it as you see it. Like, we can't just be coming on saying the same shit every week because no one will listen then. So we just, like, call each individual match or week on its own. So if someone's fucking shy, I'm going to call them shy. Now, if it works that they come out and play like Pele next match, happy days. But we keep saying it, we just call it how it is. It's just three or four lads just giving our opinions. It's not fucking Match of the Day or Sky Sports or any of that. We're just calling it as we see it on our opinion. And I think that's the appeal of it, to be honest. But anyway, fuck off, Luton. We'll leave that there. right. Again, Rich, just like it's Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, the Bournemouth game was just so, so different. But it proved that if anything came out of the loss against Luton, it proved that trio we spoke about just does not work. It just does not work at all. So Garner, who was my man in the match against Villa, him sitting in the middle, it just seems like the only option going forward now.
Well, he was in the side anyway, and I think obviously the change leaving Garner out kind of probably worked in our benefit. You know, given the performance that we'd seen against Villa. But look, I think there's pros and cons with it. But ultimately, given that Villa performance, given that Bournemouth performance, we've got to give him time to develop as a partnership there together. Let him play together. Let him make mistakes, you know, and to become familiar so that they can get familiar with playing with each other, the spaces around them, and try to go from there. Mm. Because it's the only way that you'll progress is by giving fellas an opportunity, both young, that it's going to take time. And I think that they've shown, look, it's hard, again, taking the Villa one into too much consideration, given it's a cup, you don't know what kind of emphasis Villa are putting on it, but still a good side. But ultimately, Ghana's 34, 35, he's not going to be around with the other two. You've got a future kind of around it to be able to build around him. And James Garner has to be in the middle. He has to be in the side every time now, the way we play. And I think Onana has done himself kind of, don't know, just talks of a fallout. He was talking shite again, kind of way with Belgium yesterday, whenever it was. But ultimately, he's there. I think that's the way we have to look and try to build around the two of those inside and get more kind of forward players on the pitch as well, rather than having an extra, having Ghana in there, you know, that just think that they need time to develop, let them make mistakes and to go from there and hope that they can build on it.
Yeah, I think it's evident to look at them too, because similar to Ghana and Onana, they know what they're doing, Chris. Like Garner knows, like I'm the man who's going to go forward or look for a pass, and Onana is just, he's just going to sit there. Just do what you're supposed to do. Sit in front of the back four, map things up, and give it to other players. And it's like, it's not rocket science. Like, you have a role to do. Just fucking do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Onana, I think he did well. Like, I mean, fair enough, he wasn't doing a whole lot on the ball. Like, he kept things ticking over. He put in some really good tackles, you know. Broke play up and thrown the ball over for a few times. And I think with James Garner, like, look, the last few games proved themselves. So he plays in the middle. He scored. There you go. He got his first Premier League goal. He scored in the game against Villa when he played central. And he got that assist for Calvert-Lewin against Brentford. So he's effective. Like, look, he's not a world beater. He's a young lad. He's going to be inconsistent at times. But I think he offers us something that none of our midfielders have. I just think he can simplify his things. He can get his foot on the ball, play the simple pass, take a ball down. He's a bit of everything. He can, you know, he can run all day, he can get a tackle in. And again, his versatility is only going to improve him as a player. If needs be, hopefully not. He can play on the right or he can play right back. But I think he deserves the opportunity now to kind of kick on in his preferred position. And, you know, the last few games have shown that, you know, he's effective with, you know, in the right system with the right players. When everything's all balanced, I think it's just, he just fits there well, you know. He has a goal in him, he's a good shot in him, he can create. He can get up and down. So, and again, look, he could be brutal next week, and we'd be saying, you know, that's just the players are inconsistent. But as you said, there are two young lads in the Premier League. You know, I know he played Championship for Forest last year, and he done really well, one of the better players. But he's barely played the Premier League at all for United. I don't know how many appearances he had. Don't have time looking up statistics. I have two eyes, and that's all we got based on. But you know, we spoke even Patterson before. He feck all senior appearances until now. So these are young lads still finding their way in a different league. You know what I mean? So, but look, Bournemouth was a good performance. The lads that started, they should be on the team sheet for the next game, you know. But Byron, obviously one or two things tactically. Maybe you might make a few tweaks with the game we won't mention yet. We'll just let us enjoy our 2 week international break for the time being. But you know, even how we, you know, we started the game, everything looked a bit more balanced. I think everyone was relatively happy with the team sheet, you know, and we, the early goal, that was it. Different game, changed the complexion of it completely. The structure was good, the balance was good. We pressed as a collective instead of just individually running our position and leaving spaces. And we got so much joy from just pressing them and forcing them into the mistake. Normally, it's the other way around, teams, you know, not us. So, especially at Gullison, you know, get in their face, get on them, get the crowd involved early on, get that early goal, and then the momentum kind of kicks you on. And like that first half, I mean, we should have had four at least in the first half alone in that game, you know. And I'm sure you're going to probably ask us, you know, about moments in the game. So I'll hand it back over to you.
No, the thing is that it's spot on. It was a carbon copy of the games against Fulham and Wolvesridge, where the only difference is we took a few of the chances that we created. And it's been a team at Goodison that were just creating chance after chance, like Chris said earlier, but against Luton. But we finally started to take the chances.
Yeah, big time. I mean, and look, we'd probably be talking about Fulham and Wolves kind of all the way through to the end of the season, because the difference of a good start to the season can make. But ultimately, we are where we are. And it is, you think of even back to the tail end of last season in the game, it was Brentford, you know, getting these early goals and you can just go on, you've something to hold on to. But even Saturday, once we got it, you could see the confidence kind of just upped within him. And you're getting goals from different people as well. You're not depending on the same guys. Garner was chipping in, Jack Harrison is chipping in. And that's kind of what you want to see. So it's not all, oh, we don't have a striker. Where are the goals going to come from? That the fact that you have Decore can pop up. Someone is there that'll pop up and that you're sharing it around. And I think that's kind of what we've been lacking. And it's now having that bit of a balance across the side that McNeil is able to mean that there's someone that could be there and that we can kind of build as a collective and get the goals. And it's just that all the onus isn't on with Neil Maupay up front and when life is drained out of us before we start at all, because you're saying where are the goals, you're playing players out of position and you've got square pegs and round holes. So I think ultimately the balance is helping us to get the right people into the right positions that'll help us to just get more bodies in into the right positions. I think as well, obviously, we'll probably go into more detail. I think Calvert-Lewin's been fantastic since he came back. I thought he was excellent again on Saturday. Just the running, his ability kind of on the ball, off the ball, and I think we're just a different outfit with him, you know. And I say with him at this level, you know, I think he's come out himself in the last couple of days and kind of saying that he was only playing at 60%. And, you know, I think we all know kind of how he was when he was in that purple patch under Ancelotti. And, you know, I think a couple of games last season when he was really, really good, and we're kind of starting to see it over a sustained period of time. And you just hope that he can kind of stay injury free and keep building. But without that pressure, having to play 80, 90 minutes every week, it just means that he can be managed, he can be controlled, and he's just something different for us up top. And I think the difference between us being in trouble and not being in trouble, really, when it comes down to it, is having him up top for me.
Yeah, I think that's the key. And you know, I taught you, Chris, your favourite saying, he walks his bollocks off. Like, he ran himself ragged, like, on Saturday. And all right, he didn't get a goal, but I mean, sometimes, I know it sounds ridiculous, sometimes a striker doing that type of work is as good as a goal. Like, he drags defenders, made space, held the ball up, do what you want. The only thing missing was a goal, but when you win 3-0, you can kind of get away with that.
Absolutely. And it's one of those games which are few and far between, where you could have picked six or seven of them as man of the match. And
yeah.
You know, Dom was one of them. Like you said, he done all the other stuff really, really well. He's a good focal point. He made the ball stick. But you see, the difference is, it's all when we're pinging the ball at him. We're getting men in around him now. If he doesn't win the ball, he's occupying defenders and we're cleaning up on the second ball as we're pushed up as a unit. So how many times before have you seen him isolated, 40 yards gap between the midfield and Dom, and he wins the header and it just... balls turned over anyway. So we're getting support around them. And again, like you said, it's the balance. Everyone in natural positions, they can play where they're supposed to play. It's not square pegs and round holes. We can get lads a bit further forward because we're a bit better structured. But he was good. Jesus, the run he had down the line at the park end in the first half, and he left the man for dead and went to put it across. Like, that's something we don't see from him that often either. He's so much in his locker. And going back to his couple of goals in the previous games, like the one-to-ones was the thing about Dom that we always question him about, you know. And he looks to have really, whether again a bit of age, composure, experience, whatever, he looks to have really developed that side of his game as well, which is great. So like, he just has it all. He can run all day. He brings players into play. He's skillful, you know. That little half Rabona turn he does, and
yeah,
shot, one of them's going to come off one of the days. It's a great bit of skill. He done it at Brighton again last year, for the first goal last year, actually. But I thought he was great, you know. When he looks, he's playing free. He's playing, looks free, and he, like as Rich said as well, mentally as well as physically. There might have been a little psychological block he had, maybe with his body afraid of breaking down. He was playing within himself at times when he was coming back. And but yeah, he looks to be enjoying his football. And the three goals he got in the previous three games is going to give him a bit of confidence as well. And now, what did he get last season? Did he get 2-3 all season? He's already on 3-2 league goals or whatever. So, you know, I mean, if he gets 10 or 12 for us, that should be, you know, enough to, not on its own, but with the race, lads are chipping in, Harrison, McNeil, hopefully we'll get one or two, Jimmy Garner, a couple of defenders. The way the team are contributing, I'm sure Danjuma get a few, Beto get a few, so... See, we're on a positive wave now as well. You know what I mean? It's like doing the podcast with Ricky again. You can't be fucking getting, not getting, we're getting carried away, but I think it's good to be sit on the fence a bit and just not get too high or too low, because we know we're going to have ups and downs throughout the course of the season. But on balance, when you look at things, the signs look relatively good that we will hopefully not be battling relegation till the end of the season. You know, we should have enough about us with all being fit to at least hit mid-table anyway and have the last couple of games where we can actually just enjoy it and chill out.
Well, you know that's not going to fucking happen. Yeah, wishful thinking. The gas thing is, it's horrible to say, but a game like Luton, Rich, we'll just keep our feet on the ground. Not that we're going to get run away of ourselves. But like a performance like that, it's still in there. Do you know what I mean? We can give them all the praise that they deserve after Boma, but they still have it like a shit show within them. And it's up to Deutsch and the players as well, mentally, to just be stronger.
Oh, big time. And just, I suppose it's kind of reacting to when stuff doesn't go according to plan on the pitch kind of at a certain time. You know, we didn't get the early goal. We conceded. And it's about kind of saying, right, wipe the slate and let's just go again, because we battered them for 20, 25 minutes and there was no need to panic, you know, and straight away, oh shit, we're after conceding against Luton, and it's like we didn't know what to do, and there's no reason for that. And you think, right, even once we got one goal back, we had 55 minutes or so to get an equaliser. I think if we'd have got a second one, but we just kind of, we panicked, we tried to force it, and it's just keeping, as you said, keeping level. You know, and I think that's important that we learn to, or that the players learn kind of what to do in these situations as well, because I think we panicked kind of that day. But look, we'll probably see a lot of those throughout the season, given where we are, be it down to experience, be it down to quality. But I think it's when you can kind of eradicate those, and they should, for any kind of team on the up, be comfortable home wins, you know. And I think that's where we want to get to, is you take those games that we've thrown away this season. Full of Wolves, Luton, you know, we want to get to a position where they're kind of straight points on the board. But I think we're building, you know, I think there's something there. And as much as we say, right, that there is that shit performance in us, I think someone was due hiding, you know, because we've been creating something, and something had to click at some stage. And thankfully it has, because you get a lot of goodwill from it. You get a lot of kind of confidence from it around the training ground, you know, the 2 weeks off, you know, that. It's a lot easier to go to work when things are going well. And if we'd have gone into the break on the back of Luton, it would have been a whole different experience for us and for players, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the key. It's always good to go into an international break, which I think there's too many of, but that's a different kettle of fish. Like on a high. And the confidence going through the team now, Chris, I just want to give it, you said there could have been 5 or 6 man of the matches. My personal man of the match was Harrison. I mean, and he said it himself, he's not quite fully fit, but like he's just sitting in there on the right hand side, and like his goal was unbelievable. Like just the calmness, like someone said, like a little pitching wedge over the keeper, just so relaxed and calm, and he's fitted in well to the squad system.
Absolutely, yeah. Like just, I don't think you pick barely anyone, bar maybe one or two players in the squad, that could pull off a finish like that. Unbelievable technique, beautiful goal. And obviously where you are, like, three of us, to be fair, we're in the Gladys, and you just see it, and you see it, and you hear it hit the bar, and just expected to bounce back out, typical the way things were going. But that was a beauty, and you're kind of, you're in shock initially, you know what I mean? And then you're waiting for any reason. When you're in Gladys, you can't really see. And you're like, are they going to disallow it kind of thing? They always find the bleeding reason to try and disallow it. But what a finish it was. And well, look, he just offers us something different. Like, he's both-footed as well. You know, he can come inside. But again, having Young or Patterson, whoever it may be, actually giving him an overlap then gives us that other option on the outside. So the defenders don't know what they're doing. Whereas, you know, when we're playing maybe Garner, on right back, he doesn't give you that kind of natural overlap possibly, so everything kind of comes a bit more inside and it's a bit more predictable. You don't know if Harrison's going down the line, he can whip it in off his right, or he can come inside onto his left. So that bit of fluidity as well, like McNeil can play off either side, and Juma, they can all come in through the middle and chop and change. So I mean, that's what you want, you know, a bit of unpredictability. You can interchange throughout a game and chop and change, just different options. But it's a really, that'll do him the world of good, getting off the mark, getting a goal like that in his first, you know, start in the league for us. But it's his work rate as well, you know. He must have been goosed after a good hour, I'd say, with the work he put in. And his part where he chased back, probably second half, actually. Yeah, he chased their fellow up the line by the Bullens Road stand. And, you know, just that work ethic alone, like you said, just a perfect fit for, you know, the way we'd like to play, but the way what we want to see. He works his balls off for the cause, and he has a bit of a touch of class and quality to go with it as well. And he seems like a good down-to-earth fella as well, you know, good part of the squad. So that'll just do. He has to be a starter for me. He'll get another 2 weeks under his belt now, bit of recovery, and then build up that fitness again. So, I mean, for the derby, he's nailed on the right for me, just in terms of what he brings us. And again, his willingness to work and do the dirty work and press. And it just, again, like you said about the system, doing things as a collective, having everyone on the same page. You're going to have off days, of course, but it just, they all look better when they all know their role. They all have their individual roles, and they know what they're doing, and they can focus on that. And you're not just chopping and changing square pegs and round holes and players out of position. And 1 week, you know, Garner is a 6 and then he's an 8, or Onan is playing in a 10 and then he's a 6, and you're just moving them all. Let's just get a balanced team, play everyone in a natural position when fit, obviously, and just try and build that bit of consistency there going forward. Develop partnerships on the pitch. As we've seen a bit of that, signs of it, but few and far between. There's been too many times you're like, what are you doing in training? But you can start to see, against Bournemouth especially, a few little bits of partnership, link up play, and a bit of a system and an idea of what we're trying to do. Because the amount of the games, what are we trying to do? What's the plan? I haven't a clue what the game plan is here. Just pinging it up long, you know? So, so exactly. Just build that bit of continuity. Good to have some options. And yeah, like you said about the 2 week break, it's great to just be able to go in on the back of it. 2 weeks off, good positive mindset, enjoy it. And because, like you said about not getting too high and too low, but these days where we win 3-0 are few and far between. So let's enjoy it while it lasts. Absolutely, you don't know when it's going to come around. Don't care if you're playing United, Bournemouth, you know, as fans, and especially, look, everyone, but always going over from Ireland every week and watching garbage, getting rolled over every week. And it's a long journey home, hanging around till 10 or 11 to get a delayed flight back to Dublin. You're sitting on the runway, then you have to walk a mile from Ballymun up the passport and so to your home. Head is thumping, your mouth is dry. You're after having Brian beside you waffling the whole time on the fly home.
You know, and we wouldn't change a minute of it.
So we deserve to enjoy those days.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Just get that DVD out now, just the bomber game. Don't put the Luton on it.
All right, Bill, calm down.
Yeah, all right. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Getting too much coffee in me now. The guy's thing is, Rich, and we just say it all the time, and Harrison is like a perfect example. If you put that work right in, like, you're going to get, like, it feeds back from the fans and put in attack. I always say, just blood and snots. Just put the effort in. And he's doing it now. And like I said earlier, he said it himself, he's not quite 100% fit. But when he is, Jesus, he's like Chris said, he's a definite starter.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the work rate from his time under Bielsa. You know, that he's non-stop, and it's evident. But it obviously suits, or his style suits Dyche as well. And if you take him and McNeil, the work rate out of both, their ability to press high as well, it just, you know, I suppose that's the plan. And it's getting the right bodies into the shape that he wants. And we didn't have it. You know, he's been kind of hamstrung, and that's, look, you play with what you got. But he's finally getting the players that he's kind of wanted and had around to get into that side to be able to play the way he wants. And if we can continue on that, I think there may be a future there, you know. But I think, as you said, he's that work rate, once we can see that gets everybody up, you know. I think that's, you know, just that energy, that high press, and that'll really kind of lift the ground. It gets everybody involved, and it's just showing it, you know, that you're working your bollocks off. There's not much more you can do. You obviously have to have quality, but that's, you know, pure Sean Dyche was, you know, the minimum requirement was maximum effort. But, you know, he's the type of player that epitomizes it. And I think we're starting to see a few more of those on the pitch. And it'll only kind of hopefully kind of start to filter through into everybody else. You know, standards raise, you know, around it. And I think it's that's what you want to see, is that nobody can afford to kind of drop off or to step back and kind of say, right, oh, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to... It's this... days are these kind of notions of, oh, everybody have an off day. There should be no such thing. No. Everybody having an off day. You know, you need someone to kind of step up and say, right, you know what, you just keep working, and try to drag yourself through it. But yeah, look, his start has been fantastic. And I think, as you said, once everybody is kind of putting that work rate in, we'll get the results that we need, you know. And it is really as simple as that, because I think it's a poor league. You know, I think there's a lot of poor sides in it, you know, and to be talking about survival, which is kind of where we are, you know, I think low 30s will probably keep us up this season. So I don't think it should be an issue, but obviously we got to go do it, you know. But it's easy to say 8 or 9 games in that we're going the right direction. And when you think about the poor results that we've had, we should nearly be there already, you know.
Yeah, I think the key now is just the players have set that bar for themselves, and us as well. That should be the minimum. Like keep saying it, and Chris says it. Walk your bollocks off. Put sweat in your shirt. Just give everything, especially at home. Like it's this home and away thing is just muddled into itself, where the displays are the same all the time. It shouldn't be. Like, we're at home. We're Luton. We should be rolling them over 4-5-0. We just have to get this into the players, into their heads, that just get out there, run around like options for 90 minutes, leave everything on the pitch, and you will get results from it. Like, all right, you said a little bit of quality added on to that, which we seem to have in the team now, especially with Garner and Harrison. There's that little bit of, like, Garner can see a pass, but he can also play the pass. So
you just be hoping there's a monkey off the back getting that first win. Yeah. I think there was a bit of anxiety building as games go on. You're 4 or 5 games into the season, you haven't got a goal, you know, you haven't got a win, and now you said, right, you just want to clear the slate. There should be a lot of confidence gained on the back of battering someone. You know, as I said, that it was coming, but you still need to do what you need. It's all well and good saying the stats are there, you know, we need to fucking put the points on the board, and thankfully they've done it. So hopefully that'll be a turning point.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah. Right, we're not going to preview that game that we don't speak of too often. We'll do that on a separate podcast next week. cheers, lads, for today. Thanks very much. Nice, positive podcast. Dom won't be giving out during the week on Facebook now, but it was all moaning. Actually, I must say, Dom was over. Dom was over last week, and he totally enjoyed himself. So we'll have to let him on.
Take it fucking hell, train out, man.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah. I think he's looking for sponsorship, but he can piss off. right, boys, listen, thanks very much tonight. Boys, we'll do a separate podcast next week in the build up to the momentum match at the Tin Mine. So listen, lads, thanks very much. Pod show in the week.
Take care, lads.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the toffees.